Rupture avec Ziad Naoufal sur 96.2 FM.
C'était le Kronos Quartet sur 96.2 FM avec un morceau qui s'appelle Tashwish, qui est un duo enregistré en fait par le Kronos Quartet en collaboration avec un trio palestinien, un trio de musiciens palestiniens qui s'appelle le Ramallah Underground. Et ce soir, on a une proposition assez intéressante pour vous dans les studios de Radio Liban 96.2 FM. Le musicien, l'un des trois musiciens du groupe Ramallah Underground est là avec nous dans les studios, accompagné du musicien d'électronique Tarek Atwi, qui était l'invité de Radio Liban il n'y a pas très longtemps de cela. Ils sont là pour nous parler de Tashwish et de Ramallah Underground. Bonsoir Tarek.
Allô. Salut.
Hi Basel.
Hey, how are you?
À partir de cet instant, je vais passer à la langue anglaise pour rendre la chose plus facile pour tout le monde. I'm going to switch to the English language to make all these proceedings easier for everyone. So, hello Basel, it's a pleasure to welcome you in the studios of Radio Lebanon.
Thank you, it's a pleasure to be here.
And hello Tarek again.
Hello, hi Ziad.
Tonight we're here to talk about you. Basel Abbas, about your the different stages of your career as a growing musician and dabbling in the fields of electronics, of installation, of film, of hip hop.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to be a musician.
Well, as all musicians, you start out really by just being influenced by the music you hear around you. So I grew up listening to what my parents used to play or whatever was on the television. And then, at a very young age, I had interest in learning, you know, to play musical instruments. So I began playing the guitar and taking guitar lessons, and I bought an electric guitar and, you know, tried to be Jimi Hendrix at some point. I think
Jimi Hendrix is a necessary stage in the development of any budding journalist, musician. Yeah, totally. Budding musician.
So I went through that when I was very, very, very young. We were talking about age of 9, 10, you know, up to 12 years old. At some point, I also got into hip-hop, and I tried to I bought some records. Well, I stole my parents' records, and I tried, you know, scratched a couple. And then the real kind of stage where I started to actually... feel like I could do, you know, I could produce something and felt that this was getting closer to what I want to do is when I discovered computers and making music on computers. And that's when I began to, you know, learn different ways of recording, maybe playing the guitar or recording something that I found or sampling from the records. So mixed in with the interest I have in hip-hop, it kind of all fell
in place
at that time. So I began to sample records and try to make hip-hop on the computer.
By basically MCing and vocalizing?
No, I don't MC myself, I produce, but I was working at that. That was when, you know, I started working with Ramallah Underground. And the two other MCs that I work with are also producers. So actually we met and started off exchanging kind of production techniques.
Can we try and locate this geographically? Can you tell us where this is happening? Where did you meet your two partners?
I met
the two guys who would later on become your partners.
I met them in Ramallah, actually, in Palestine.
Okay.
The initial stage was I grew up till I was about 12 or 13. Before I moved to Palestine, I grew up in Cyprus. So that was the beginning stage when I was younger.
So you met these two guys in Ramallah?
Yeah, basically.
Stormtrap and Boycott.
Exactly. And we took it from there. I mean, we found that we could make hip-hop, and there was a political situation at that time which paved the way for such a necessity for something much more than just there needed to be direct contact with people, direct kind of action, let's say.
And interaction.
So hip-hop made really a lot of sense at that point, I think.
Did Stormtrap and Boycott also come from the general field of hip-hop, or is that where their preference went as well?
That we were actually very close to the same similar kind of development
taste.
Taste of music, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was always, even though, like, obviously we were doing hip-hop, there was always interest because of our background as musicians as opposed to MCs, all three of us. There was always an interest in the music itself, so it always kind of branched out to more electronic things, to more, or at least influenced by many, you know, other genres
different
of music.
Different influences.
Yeah, exactly, different influences.
Tarek, is this how you came to know of Basil and his work through Ramallah Underground?
Well, yes, he doesn't know it, but actually I saw them in Amsterdam on stage.
Oh, okay.
And I don't remember, 2007 or 2000. That time I was in Holland, and I felt that there is an influence, and then I listened to things on the internet and went and checked them out, and there was an electronic influence for me from the beginning in the work that you were doing. There was in the instruments or in the productions themselves, there was this acknowledgement of the old school aesthetic, but also of like what other labels of electronic music and like new school hip hop were doing at that time.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is what I've seen. And like if it was really like hip hop was a starting point, and then it had lots of potential at that time also,
exactly,
of like growing to more things.
As an electronic and electroacoustic performer, Tariq, is this what drew you to the music of the band? The fact that it wasn't only hip hop, but it was hip hop mixed in with a large variety of other influences?
No, actually, because what first attracted me and what I first liked was the energy. Actually, the energy of it, and especially when I saw like videos on MySpace at the time, it was, and I liked it a lot. It was raw, and this is what made me very optimistic about the group and the becoming of its members, actually. Mm-hmm. And then we met a few years after in Dubai in a very strange way. And now he's in Beirut. And honestly, this is really great, coming from very near but very far.
Thank you, Tariq, for bringing together this this meeting today.
Between, it's my deep pleasure, honestly.
Between you, Basil from Ramallah Underground, his partner, Rawan, whom we will speak with in a while, and of course, our partner in crime, Fadi Tabal, who's recording this program and sound engineering it. What I suggest we do is that we listen to a short excerpt from a Ramallah Underground track, if you like, Basil, and then we'll continue conversing.
Okay, this song is called Tisasabasafir, which is 970, which is the actual country code that got given to Palestine.
Ramallah Underground on 96.2 FM, a short excerpt from one of their tracks. There's a definitive jazz influence there. There's a flute, I think, playing some sort of oriental melody, and of course there's that harsh hip-hopping.
Yeah.
So indeed, a mixture of very, very different influences.
Yeah, this was a track, it's a bit... I mean, I was trying to show you the kind of earlier stuff, you know. So this is a bit less electronic as well than
what came afterwards.
Than what came afterwards, yeah.
Okay.
For the Kronos track you heard in the beginning.
The Kronos track, sounded a lot like its name, Tashwish, which is interference.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of different elements of noise coming into that one.
Yeah.
It also has field recordings as well in the bottom of it.
Okay. I want to ask you: did the fact that that you were hip hopping, but also at the same time musicians, like real musicians, creating musical beds, did this interfere in any way with your experience, with your life experience in Palestine and neighboring countries?
I mean, I would say not just in Palestine and the neighboring countries, but worldwide. I mean, it was. What it interfered with was we felt we were kind of stuck in a frame. You know, I felt like I was, everyone was expecting hip-hop all the time, whereas hip-hop was one of the things that we could do or one of the things that we were exploring. Mm. But there was so much more. So kind of...
It was limiting.
So Ramallah Underground, in that sense, was limiting individually and for the group as a whole as well. And I think that's one of the reasons we kind of you know, put that an end to that and kind of concentrated more on like kind of different elements of things. Mm.
I think that it was last year in 2009 that the three of you went your separate ways.
Yeah. Okay. It was last year. It's been really good since. I mean, it's not like the hip hop is gone. For example, there's always going to be a hip hop influence, I think, in my work, depending on what I do as well. But it's always going to influence me, and so will Jimi Hendrix when I was 9, and so will, you know, everything else I heard. It will keep kind of adding to my kind of layers of influence, you know, that I have, and they will come out in like all my future projects, sometimes more and sometimes less, you know. I still work with Boycott, for example, and Boycott was also kind of producing his music, but also doing like emceeing and writing. So I kind of DJ with him when he goes to gigs, and I still kind of throw him a couple of beats every now and then to see if he likes it. He raps on it, etc. So I still work very closely with Boycott as well. So
is Boycott the MC we heard on the track you just played
right
for
now,
us?
Right now, yeah, that was Boycott. Mm. Yeah.
Even at the time of being in Ramallah Underground and being in the midst of Ramallah Underground, you afforded yourself the luxury to work in parallel.
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of work for sound for film, and as well for like theater, for example. And I was also working on, you know, on my own kind of solo work as well. Okay. I do a lot of like sampling, but not just from vinyl, also from films, from radios, I'm just field recordings, things like that. So on the side, while working with Ramallah Underground and touring and doing shows, I was
also
developing.
Find the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I was also developing other areas of work, and I also do installation based work as well. So with Rowan, and
we'll come back to that in a bit. At the beginning of the program, I remember asking you if you could provide us with different tracks to illustrate the different stages of your musical development, and you did say something about one of your parallel tracks. Let's say.
Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of, I was basically fusing, like, because Ramallah Underground was you know, more going into the hip hop realm, and I was doing a lot of sound-based stuff, sound recordings, sound textures, and things like that. I kind of tried to experiment and like finding and combining both, basically, in a way. So this track maybe kind of illustrates that slightly. It has field recordings, but it's also kind of hip-hop driven in a way. So. Thank you.
thought out. I'm reminded a bit of the subject of cut-ups that we discussed a few days ago during your program on these airwaves.
Yeah.
This is one aspect of Ramallah Underground which I imagine you were not familiar with when you first saw the boys on stage.
Yes.
What is your take on this particular musical concoction that we just heard?
Okay, well, what is it? For me, it's also like... honestly, I wrote to Basel a year ago when I heard these stuff, also a very long mail about asking him a lot of questions and issues that were very close to me also at that time. And it has, like, what I hear here first is electronically things that are mature, sounds that are very well worked, taste, influences that are very well understood and assimilated, like it looks very obvious that you listen to Ninja Tunes, that you listen to Warp, that you follow the evolution even of these labels, and this work has its place in the context of these electronic post hip hop music that kind of merge the two influences. And yeah, and I, each time actually, and really for me, this is really hope, I hear where I meet Basel, I see that it's moving forward and changing and diversifying. And it makes me respect him a lot as an artist.
Thank you.
And as a human being.
Thank you.
From the track that we just heard, I could tell there's a very distinct cinematographic element. And a few moments ago, you mentioned something about creating pieces for film.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about your work for film, for theater, and the other aspects of your solo work. And how you approach these different media.
Yeah. I think my working with picture for me first started in a commercial way, you know. So I was basically doing TV ads, you know, for money, you know, to get by, etc. Then I kind of got approached by someone with a serious kind of film, you know, and that's how I, you know, got into it and experimented in the beginning. And at first, it was mostly like going through my tracks and seeing what fits as opposed to kind of working with the picture and then Rawan actually was one of the first soundtracks I did was for Rawan's documentary film, which was about 55 minutes, and we spent like about 9 months working on it, I think it gave me opened up a whole different
perspective,
and that's how I think the sound started to seep into the music. Like, because then it started when I started composing for film. A lot of the time, your best kind of the best musical element is silence. Sometimes, mm-hmm. if you see what I mean.
Sure.
Things like silence and timing are very important in film, and so it really helped me kind of understand the music I make better, and then combine the soundscapes that I, you know, because sometimes you want you want a soundscape, for example, as opposed to kind of music in a film,
yeah.
And so that's how I started combining both.
Well, we have to say that you also did the studies in sound engineering.
Yeah,
and
course. Yeah. I did study sound engineering in London, and of course. My problem was with the frustration that I learned later that every musician goes through, especially electronic mm-hmm. musician, to kind of get that sound that you want, yeah. and kind of always yeah. thinking that
that sound is possible, but in fact it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Or assuming that you only can get that sound if you have very expensive equipment, and if you yeah. have that, and you need to go master your track in London for it to sound the way you want it to, et cetera, et cetera. So I figured I'm probably never going to have the money to mix and master in London, so I should probably like cut corners and try to learn how to do it so I can do it myself. Yeah, and so that's why I went and took a sound engineering course and sound thing. Now I kind of, I really like, I mean, I really use these skills, but I don't really mix and master anymore in a way. I don't know if that makes sense.
Sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, so
you've basically,
you've
integrated everything you've learned as far as sound engineering goes into different channels.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So my mixing and mastering actually happens during composition in a way.
Yeah.
It's integrated into your process.
Yeah. I make changes later, etc., of course, but yeah.
Yeah, and this is felt, like I feel it also, like in the things I've listened to lately and with this installation, the latest installation, you look at sounds the way they are, and there are lots of things that you pay attention to in a sound and that really influence the way you are going to work on it and use it inside the composition.
Exactly.
So this is how I understand when you said, and this is how sound became to enter music.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there is the whole dimension, actually, of developing sound as a form of art and doing sound art that you are into now.
Exactly.
And... yeah, like, I don't know, like, maybe just, Ziad, you can, maybe you know what is happening with the Beirut Art Center and Ashkal Anwan at the moment.
I wanted to say a word about the installation that you keep referring to, basically, which is an installation that that Basel is presently exhibiting with Rawan, who's here in the studio, whom we haven't spoken to yet, but whom we've heard giggle a few moments ago. Rawan Abu Rahmeh, whom I'm presuming is a visual. Is that a correct way of describing your work? You're a visual artist,
just an artist.
And basically, there's a work that you two have worked on together that's presently being exhibited in Beirut on the occasion of the Homeworks Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call it a festival because it's pretty festive, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, yes, it is. It is.
And basically, this Homeworks Festival is taking place in different venues in town, and two of the chief venues are the Beirut Art Center and the new Homeworks Academy, and your installation is present there, Basel. Would you like to tell us a bit about this this installation and also the installation work you've been performing recently as a solo artist, or the two of you maybe?
Yeah, you want to speak a bit about the installation, and I'll speak about Tashweesh later on.
Okay. Hi.
Rawan, hi.
Hi. So we're presenting this one is a sound installation. Basically, the whole idea with this is somehow we felt, especially in Palestine, that sound was generally overlooked or underdeveloped, or looking at sound perhaps as a kind of language in itself. So
you mean you're referring to sound that accompanies installations, that accompanies
just sound
actually.
As a
medium.
Just looking at sound as a medium and looking at it just as a language. This is something we've been interested in for a while. A lot of our work, we did a lot of video and sound work before, but recently we're focusing on just sound, and I think this is our second sound installation, which is quite different from our first, from the whole approach of how we're thinking about the work. So just to say briefly, I mean,
give us a brief description. So
I'll
we can
give you a brief.
try and picture it,
please,
or
please
picture it in our ears.
A brief description.
Okay.
Basically, this one is looking at the sound that colonial structures produces and in effect imposes, and how sound can create in itself a kind of system of power or a space. So we look at the Kalandia checkpoint as a kind of manifestation of that. Kalandia checkpoint is now, it's more than just a checkpoint, it's a very, very big kind of zone between Ramallah and Jerusalem that people have to cross every day. And in this checkpoint, in a sense, you hardly ever see the soldier, but you hear them the whole time. And there's a whole machinery as well. I mean, there's x-ray machines, there's turnstiles. So really, I mean, the space is actually dominated by sound. But it's almost as though the sound has become mundane or normal or integrated into the kind
taken for granted
landscape. Yeah, so this whole piece was about maybe kind of disrupting that and really looking at the sounds in isolation and bringing out their strangeness.
Mm. Denormalizing the sounds, basically.
Bringing out the strangeness.
Which have become normal in the space.
In a sense, or creating something that's a bit, that shows how surreal these spaces actually are. This was like the starting point that we took for this piece.
Well, me, I would like to say that you talk about working with sound as a medium, but I also think from the first installation that I have seen, what was the name of the first sound installation?
Ramallah Syndrome.
Yeah, the Ramallah Syndrome project, exactly, that I saw at the Venice Biennale in the first Palestinian pavilion, actually, in Venice, was this...
Which year was that?
That was last year.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Which was like the crazy what is this chamber called where you put crazy people that are all tied up and that happened in that space, and with this installation here Kalandia at the Beirut Art Center that is happening also in another type of space. I always experience your installations as sound in a given space, and you think the space where you are going to put the sound in, and you think the lights, and there are also text elements and other messages that are there.
Definitely. I mean, recently we've been very interested in creating kinds of not just creating work, but creating environments that the work inhabits or kind of reacts with. And it's not always successful, or it doesn't always happen how exactly
is for sure. Especially with sound in the Arab world. Technically, you always have problems.
But I mean, this is very important for us because also we're interested in a kind of immersion in our work. So when people come in, that there's a kind of immersion in this space. Not that we don't like other forms of art practices, but we're particularly interested in this because I think a lot of things are very much about distance in art production, and we're interested really in the opposite, which is immersion.
Great.
So this is why we very much look at the environments that we're building. Yeah. So not just the sound, but what is the environment that we're creating? So this, we build the structure out of metal inside.
Don't say what it is about.
Okay, no, just no. So that's
people
enough.
Go to
the Beirut Art Center.
It's good. It's good to have a teaser, Tariq.
Yeah, yes. No, the immersion functions very well. We spoke about this yesterday. Really, one of the most precise and genuine experiences I've had from an installation work in Homeworks. Honestly, so please go check it out.
It's coming from someone of the caliber of Tariq Atwi, that's saying a lot. Absolutely. No, that wasn't a joke.
True,
that wasn't
a joke. True.
Thank you.
You two, Rawan and Basil, have also been working together within a new formation called Tashwish.
Yes, actually, it's me, Rawan, and it's me, Rawan, and Boyka as well.
Okay.
What this is Tashwish is an audiovisual group. So it's as opposed to, you know, how we used to operate before. We used to have
within Ramallah Underground. Yes.
Now this is like an audiovisual group, and we're basically we're working currently on performances. So we're trying to kind of
build a stage, build a stage experience.
Exactly, build a much better stage experience.
Combining sounds and visuals?
Precisely, sounds and visuals. And we're also trying to be more,
mobile, flexible,
able to travel. Exactly, and to kind of change the piece depending on the performance. On the circumstance, on the performance. Yeah. And I think we are taking it in a different way, because Rawan also does the visuals on a laptop. So we're basically, what we're doing is jamming as a band, you know, like taking the old kind of concept of going and jamming together as if, so you treat your laptop as if it's a guitar, obviously. I mean, I've been doing that for a while, but as in the kind of, and then the band practice will allow us to improvise together more and more on stage, and so that way we kind of feel, you know, you can have a more of a connection with the crowd and you know, go up and down as you wish with the music, things like that. So we're really kind of concentrating on that side element. Of it, element of it.
Let's we haven't had music for a long time, so let's listen to if possible to an excerpt.
This is an excerpt, quick excerpt of some of the new. I mean, this comes with video, but obviously, I hope everyone can see us right now.
I'm sure they can. We have web cameras installed everywhere.
Excellent. Yes. So, all right, here goes a short snippet of what we're doing with Tashweesh, basically. Okay.